Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, only on the Wildcaster app. I'm Justin Spears, here with Dominic Bachaco. And Dominic, last time we talked about Arizona basketball, they were undefeated, number two in the country. And a DeAndre Ayton homecoming meant there's no way Arizona could lose a single game, right?
Well, we were right about one thing. Ayton went off. He had a good week.
And he had his homecoming.
he went home. They went to that school on the first day before the tournament. So, you know, they were productive in Ayton's hometown, but maybe not on the court.
Yes. Boy. Arizona basketball. Like I say, we get him one more time with the sad trombone.
I don't think it's enough. We need it for one time at every spot they fell in the AP Top 25.
Oh, so we need...
No, they're not even in it.
Oh, so they're not even in the AP Top 25. So we got to do like 30 sad air horns. You know, how about one more just for their loss?
Yeah, stand by. We'll
they
keep
suffered
doing them.
Three losses this weekend. NC State, SMU, Purdue. Arizona came in last place of the Battle for Atlantis tournament.
I had never been so sure going into a tournament or going into a week of basketball. I had never been so sure that they were gonna breeze through three games and come home and keep on rolling. You know, I mean, we were talking about a potential showdown with a top five Villanova, and we were ready to see Arizona come out and steam past them. You know, so it's just Arizona basketball, Arizona athletics in general in Tucson have just taken a complete turn for the worse over the last week, and what a disaster it was in the Bahamas.
Territorial Cup's
gone.
Bahamas disaster.
Arizona State's ranked in college basketball. Washington State's got to be in the conversation. They just won the Wooden Legacy with a few other good teams in the mix. So Pac-12's a little weird right now, I think you could say.
So Arizona fell out of the top 25 for the first time since the end of the 2011-2012 season. Again, they were preseason ranked for the 2012-2013 season, and that's when they completely just went off. They had their 100-week streak of being in the AP Top 25. Again, 100 weeks just means college basketball season. Mm-hmm. Does not mean actual weeks, because then that's just only a couple of years. But, no.
100 is a lot more impressive than it sounds, is what Justin's getting
yes,
at.
Yes, exactly. So, the last time Arizona basketball was unranked, like I said, end of 2011-2012 season.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they had Jesse Perry, Kyle Fogg, and they lost in the first round of the NIT to Bucknell. I mean, it's so crazy to think that of all Arizona teams that could have been unranked, it wasn't even the 2015-16 team where Alonzo Trier is a freshman, where they had Ryan Anderson and Mark Tollefson, that mm-hmm. team, mm-hmm. and they lost in the first round to Wichita State.
Yeah.
I would have thought that team... They could have been unranked at some point during the year, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They were always consistently ranked. Even if they lost, they would drop maybe a couple spots.
Exactly.
The highest ranking they had, or should I say lowest ranking they mm-hmm. had, was they were ranked number 22 towards like the middle part of the year. They had a hiccup when Alonzo Trier was out with a broken hand injury. But they were still ranked.
Right. They were winning games.
It's so mind-boggling to think that a team that is as talented as Arizona has fallen as hard as they have.
And it's not – and we keep talking about it. It's not getting any easier. I mean, they faced I think, an underrated NC State and SMU team. I know they went on and lost the game after they both beat Arizona in the Battle for Atlantis, but I think they're both underrated, and I think they both can make tournament runs this year. And then they lost to a Purdue team who was ranked at the time. And, you know, Purdue kind of was the first team to match up height-wise with Arizona. Yeah, match up well with it. They were the first team that I think Arizona faced all year that I thought they'd have problems with. And coming up, obviously, they got Long Beach State in McHale this week. And that, again, if they have problems there, then you're looking at rock bottom pretty quick. But then they go to UNLV next week, which I don't think is going to be a cakewalk. You know, UNLV usually plays them tough, especially going to Vegas. I think it's going to be a good game. And then they come and face a number 9 Texas A&M at a neutral site in Phoenix. And we say neutral site, but it is in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. But still, number 9 A&M and then number 24 Alabama in McHale Center. So there are a lot of good games coming up. And down the road, you got UConn at home, and they have Arizona State, who is now ranked. So the schedule isn't getting any easier. It's heating up now, and it's going to hit them really quick before they get in the Pac-12 play.
And one thing that they need to work on the most, which is crazy to think that I never thought I would ever say this about a Sean Miller team ever. Mm-hmm. They need to work on defense.
Do they ever?
Dom, you have some crazy numbers about Arizona's defense and how far they've fallen off. Dom, spit some hot fire.
You know, every year we talk about how good of a coach Sean Miller is on defense, and that's kind of Arizona's prowess every year. Their claim to fame is that they're always one of the best defensive teams in the country. You talk about the team with Ryan Anderson, Tollefson, and Gabe York. When they struggled, they still kind of had defense to fall back on. And, you know, they were still known as a defensive team. So I was looking at this season right now, they're giving up 74.8 points per game. Now, usually in college basketball, you hold teams to under 70 points, you're going to have a chance to win, right? Especially with Arizona's offense right now. Went back to see when the last time they've started out this bad. So through 6 games, I'm not looking at cumulative season totals here. I'm looking at Arizona, where are they through the first 6 games of a season? And I think a lot of people forget, Arizona hasn't gotten out to fantastic starts the last couple years. They lost to Providence, was that 2 years ago? Yes. Early on? So they lost in their first 6 games that year. Last year, they lost to, was it Butler?
Yes.
In Santa Clara? Mm-hmm. So they've struggled out of the gates, but not this bad, obviously. When Justin says it's defense, the last time that they allowed opponents to average 70 points a game through the first 6 games was Sean Miller's first season. They averaged 71.5 opponents did against Arizona.
Which is also the first time Sean Miller has lost 3 games in a row.
Right, that first season.
That first mm-hmm. season.
In Pac-12 play, correct. It happened twice that year, right?
Happened twice.
Yes. So, I mean, you look at some of the totals here. 2014, they were giving up less than 60 points a game through the first 6. Actually, 2012, 13, and 14, they were holding opponents to in the 50s through the first 6 games. And then the last time they'd given up more than they are right now through 6 games, 2006. So
wow.
One thing that stands out to me is that Sean Miller is obviously one of the best recruiters. In that regard, he's one of the best at what he does. And I think he's brought in a lot of talented players throughout the year who have that defensive mindset, and they've bought into Arizona basketball as a defensive team, as a defensive first team. And now, and I'm not saying that the team he has right now isn't capable of playing good defense. I'm just saying I think it's up to Sean Miller now. Sean Miller has the opportunity to prove to us his defensive prowess. I mean, he has a team right now who is very good offensively. They have the Pac-12's leading scorer in Alonzo Chirith, 24.5 points a game. They have a leading rebounder in DeAndre Ayton with 12 boards a game. Parker is second in assists with 5.5, just over 5.5. Dusan Ristich is shooting at an extremely high clip. So they have a lot of guys who are playing solid basketball. They're just not playing defense.
Yep. And you could score as many points as you want, but if you can't play defense, you're screwed.
In Pac-12 especially.
Especially in Pac-12 play. And we'll talk to Bruce Pascoe here in a minute about his thoughts from the Bahamas and the Battle for Atlantis tournament. But, you know, you look at Arizona's roster and you say, okay, who could be a defensive stopper? It's not going to be Alonzo Trier. Alonzo Trier mm-hmm. will never be a defensive stopper. So you put the role on guys like a freshman, Emmanuel Acott. And at the beginning of the season, this is where we thought Emmanuel Acott was going to earn his minutes if he was solely focused on defense. You have a bunch of offensive juggernauts. Like I said, Trier, DeAndre Ayton is going to get his. But then you look at the perimeter. You have shooters like Dylan Smith and Brandon Randolph. There are so many players that could just score. Where's the defense?
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Pinder, where's he been? Because every single time that you know they bring him out, he's almost got stone feet, which I'm kind of surprised because he's one of the quickest guys on the right. team. He almost looked like he had Dusan Ristic's feet.
He's athletic too.
He's athletic. He's very athletic. But sometimes he gets caught in screens and he just doesn't know how to fight off mm-hmm. screens. So when they bring him out and they set screens at the top of the key, he's having trouble trying to fight. And by the time he's already getting off his man, the whoever he's guarding that has the ball already has an upper edge of the basket. So then you look at, okay, Emmanuel Acott. He was a defensive stopper that has a nice outside shot. Against NC State, the first game, only played 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Smith got the start. Why are you going to take away your defensive stopper by putting in a three-point shooter? There's absolutely no defense whatsoever. NC State exposed that. Emmanuel Acott only played 4 minutes, like I said, which was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know whether...
Right, and that threw me off, too, because Sean Miller hyped him up early in the season as one of the best defenders that Arizona has right now. So it was a surprise to me when he only played 4 minutes.
Emmanuel Acott, and then the next two games, he played 22 minutes and then 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Still did not score a single point. And Arizona's defense looked awful. Arizona is in a weird place right now where, you know, Arizona fans want to talk about how great this team is and the potential that they have.
Mm-hmm.
This team, just by looking at them, is a bunch of individuals that are just on the court at the same time.
Right.
And we knew they were going to have some growing pains because it's a mixture of veterans with a bunch of new talent. And the veterans have not played with these guys yet. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, like I said, growing pains, they're going to have trouble meshing together. But it just doesn't even look like growing pains anymore. It looks like they are an overrated team.
Mm-hmm.
I say this, I compare it because me being a Lakers fan, I always got to compare it, you know, an overhyped team that does not meet the expectations. Arizona basketball right now, I'm not saying they're going to be this way, but right now they look like the 2012-2013 Lakers team. Well, yeah, Dwight Howard, Kobe, Pau Gasol, the starting five would have been an all-star team.
Mm-hmm.
But what do? They got bounced in the first round by the Spurs. So, look, all I'm saying is that Arizona, they have the potential. They have the talent there. They can be a national championship team. But once they went up against top-notch opponents, not Maryland, Baltimore County, they got not exposed.
Not even top-notch. The most top-notch they had was number 18 Purdue, who had just lost two games before they played Arizona. That was the most elite team they played. I don't think there was a team in the field last week that Arizona beats. I mean, you put them up against Tennessee, I think Tennessee would have given them a good shot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not... For how Arizona played against every opponent, they played – I don't even want to say they played down to their opponent. They just played poor basketball, and like you said, there's a lot of individuals on the court, and I think that's one big thing to keep an eye on when Sean Miller tries to mesh this team back into a defensive-minded, a defensive-first, grind-them-down, wear-them-down kind of team. Is Sean Miller said one thing in the Bahamas after the loss to NC State that really stuck out to me. He said, quote, "The last couple of years," referring to this time of the season – "The last couple of years, maybe our defense wasn't as far along, but our collective will defensively and our togetherness defensively more than made up for it." So you still saw Arizona grinding down teams when they aren't necessarily an elite defensive team. You know, you still saw them making people use the entire shot clock, and there were shot clock violations, and there were a lot of turnovers, steals, and traps, and they were gritty, and they were getting at opponents, and you're not seeing that right now. And like Sean Miller said, they need to have the will to do it. And Sean Miller can be the best defensive mind in the world. He can teach defense. I don't think you can instill the will to play defense into a bunch of 18-year-olds.
Sean Miller was so mad that they lost. He didn't even do the post-game interview with Brian Jeffries on 1290. He let Lorenzo Romar take over.
Really?
Rightfully so. You know, you lose three straight games mm-hmm. with your most talented team you've ever had.
Right.
Not only by yourself, but in program history.
Yeah.
Lute Olson said that. Lute Olson straight up said that this is the most athletic, most talented team Arizona has ever put on a court, which I think is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But Only time will tell. They got Long Beach State coming up on Wednesday. But a guy that will provide better analysis for you guys is the one and only Bruce Pasco. All right, we're here with Arizona Daily Star's Bruce Pasco. Bruce is finally back in the United States. He spent over some time in the Bahamas covering the Wildcats at the Battle for Atlantis tournament. Bruce, how does it feel to be back?
Great. It was tiring because they kept playing all those late games. But, you know, and it's hard to sleep when you're there. There's so much to do. So, you know, but it was a fun week. To cover them and to be somewhere different, obviously a hard week for them, and but you know, it made for you know, a really interesting time in a lot of ways.
It was pretty nice to go to work on a boat, wasn't it?
Yeah, well they I decided not to stay on their resort, and so I was staying in town, and there was a literally $4 ferry you can catch between the two islands. And you know, they come on there and they have these cheesy tour guides come on there and tell you all this stuff about Hollywood celebrities that have stayed there. And it was, you know, yeah, it was really interesting. I've never done anything like that. I thought, you know, it worked out pretty well. It was a long commute in a way, but it was a lot of fun.
And the main sponsor for the tournament was Bad Boy Mowers. So there was a lot of orange lawnmowers around the Imperial Ballroom out there. It seemed like there's lawnmowers everywhere that you turned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was their point, I guess. Like, you had to notice their lawnmowers, but they were huge. And this is such a, like a, you know, it's like a nice upscale Las Vegas resort or whatever, and you're walking around, and everywhere you go, you're bumping into these huge orange lawnmowers, which, like, you know, was really a good marketing strategy, I guess. And I actually saw people, I tweeted out a photo of a guy checking it out. He was looking at every angle of it, like, what does this thing do? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we don't have a whole lot of lawnmowers around here, so I thought it was kind of odd that, you know, Arizona was playing a tournament sponsored by somebody like that, but it's just the way it goes.
And for our listeners, these aren't just your typical, you know, stowaway lawnmowers that you have at home. These are the full, huge, massive lawn. Yeah, the ones you actually sit in and drive, like it's a vehicle. So.
Yeah, like if you had like a 5-acre backyard in, you know, Nebraska or someplace, or I don't know, it might make sense. I mean, they look pretty comfortable, but I looked up, they had a glossy, like, 30-page brochure they gave us, and I think they ran from $3,000 to $15,000. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. You could buy a car for less than some of these lawnmowers.
So it's safe to say you didn't come home with a new lawnmower?
No. I don't know. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they sold a couple of them to some fans. Who knows?
What better way to advertise lawnmowers by setting up the outside of an arena looking like the inside of a Home Depot?
Yeah, not only that, but just how do they get all these lawnmowers to the Bahamas? They shipping them from Miami on a boat? I mean, that's not easy to do. So they really put some effort into that. I was impressed.
The real questions need to be answered. How do those lawnmowers get out there to the Bahamas? All right, Bruce, so you're back here in the United States. The Arizona Wildcats went 0-3 in the Battle for Atlantis in DeAndre Ayton's homecoming. And, you know, a team that was once favored to be a Final Four contender, they did not look like a Final Four contender, and they come in last place in Battle for Atlantis. Bruce, what did you take away out of this weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's you have to kind of wonder. I mean, you certainly can point to some short-term problems that they have and growth they need to make, but something like that, when you see that happen, that kind of says that's probably not going to be a Final Four team. Maybe they can still get there if they're hot in March or whatever, but that, they've got a lot of issues to take care of. And, you know, it was just basically it was just like a big overall, like, kind of atom bomb of things to look at. And, you know, it wasn't just one thing that went wrong. Pretty much everything went wrong, and they appeared to be playing tight and nervous, and it just didn't seem right. And, you know, you can say there's freshmen that have to learn and this and that, and that's true to some extent, but one of the freshmen is DeAndre Ayton, and the other teams have freshmen too, and, you know, I don't think they can lean on that a whole lot. But so it was just, you know, an unusual breakdown in so many ways. I mean, you know, what can you say?
So
it's hard to know how to, when something like that happens, honestly, it's hard to figure out how do you describe it. It's so you know, it's so big, really, the things that happened.
Absolutely. And I think it's just so it's so hard to put into perspective and kind of put into words right now, because, I mean, a week ago we were talking to you about – I mean, we were talking to you about them being one of the best teams in the country. So, I mean, it's kind of – and that's kind of the vibe in Tucson right now. And you being back in town, I'm sure you've gathered this. Everyone's kind of – sports in Arizona have kind of flipped upside down right now. Everything's backwards, you know. I mean, Arizona State's ranked. They just won a tournament. Washington State just won a tournament in basketball. So the teams that, I mean, just a week ago were on the bottom are now sitting pretty. And the Wildcats are nowhere to be seen in the top 25. Arizona State just won the Territorial Cup. And I think everybody, fans are trying to point fingers. So not necessarily singling anyone out, because I don't think it's that simple. I mean, what do you look at as the biggest issue for Arizona basketball right now?
I guess I'd say the biggest issue would probably be defense. I mean, because, you know they have offense, and that's going to be there, and they're going to get, you know, they should get Raleigh Alkins back, and that's going to help that even more if they can, you know, share the ball and keep everyone happy at least. But defensively, and we even saw that a little bit in the home game, so I think that's probably why it's a bigger concern. That both they're having problems with perimeter defense, defending guys from driving into the basket and not getting out on 3-point shooters, getting crossed up on screens pretty easily. They had a lot of problems with that. Purdue particularly just really out-screened them. I mean, they were really sound in what they did, but Arizona probably could have communicated better and worked a little harder through that. And so those are the kind of things. And I'm guessing if I'm Sean Miller, those are the things that trouble me the most too, because again, they've got tons of offensive weapons. They're probably going to be okay there, but they can't give up 85, 90 points and expect to go too far. Eventually it's going to catch up to them.
And I'm glad you bring up Raleigh Alkins. He's in that, as we've reported the last week or so, he's in that 8 to 12 week threshold now of returning to play. So, and we've seen him kind of taking shots before games and kind of testing out his foot that's still in a cast last time I saw. When he does come back, when that time comes, how do you see him fitting into this roster? Because, I mean, we got a lot of freshmen playing a lot of minutes right now. Is Raleigh Alkins going to come in and have the impact that they need him to kind of turn around what they're experiencing right now?
Yeah, like any injury, that long a layoff, there's always a little bit of a transition period there. But he's a real experienced guy, really aggressive, you know, so I don't think it'll be that much once he gets back on the floor for him to get in the flow. And right now, you know, his spot's wide open as small forward. I would think he could step in there right away and you know, really help them. And he's already played with Alonzo Trier for a while, and, you know, they should be able to work that out with a minimum of distractions. It would have been interesting with the way Brandon Randolph was playing before he got hurt, and granted, he started to play well the other night, but, you know, if he was really playing well, it might cause a little bit of a problem for Alkins to come step right in and take his spot, and then you have to make, you know, Brandon go from being one of the go-to guys to a sixth man or whatever, and, you know, how's that going to work? But right now, it's, you know, if he comes back in the next week or two, it should be pretty smooth. And their schedule, you know, they've got a couple of roadies up here, but their schedule isn't too bad in the rest of the non-conference season, so they got some time. And that's the whole thing. We're talking about all this, but you know, one thing to keep in mind is it is college basketball, not college football, so there's plenty of time to recover, and if you get hot in the tournament, all this stuff gets forgotten.
And that's a good point. When Raleigh Alkins does come back, you talked about him getting back into the flow of it right away. Alonzo Trier's first game back last year after missing a significant portion of the season, 20 points against the then number 3 UCLA. At UCLA.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Right.
And you bring up Raleigh, and we sit here and talk about defensive issues. I kind of almost think that Raleigh coming back kind of ignites the defensive fire that Arizona needs. Would you agree with me, Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, he's shown signs of that. He hasn't been – I don't think he's quite been, you know, what they think he could be defensively. But, you know, that was last year we're talking about. You'd think he's progressed on that probably. Well, we just haven't been able to really see that, and he should help. I mean, he's probably – you know, I think Miller's talked a lot about Emmanuel Acott trying to be their stopper, and that's kind of not really worked out so far.
Yeah.
He certainly has that potential to. But Raleigh – is physically ready if he wants to. He is going to be coming back from that foot, and, you know, how much does he want to be a defender? But he certainly can help. There's no question of that. Yeah.
And Bruce, looking ahead, I mean, we have, of course, the big game against Texas A&M They're number 9 in the country. Arizona will play them on a air quote neutral site court, but that's going to be up in Phoenix. Of course, you're going to expect a lot of Arizona fans there. And then they also have a home game against Alabama. And then going into conference play, they start off against Arizona State at home, who's also just cracked the top 25. They're ranked at number 20 right now. And that's a pretty big month of December for Arizona. And it's pretty crazy to think that, like I said, a team that was once favored to be a Final Four team and pretty much coast through their non-conference play, and you can even say conference play with Pac-12 kind of being down, now the month of December kind of turns into a pivotal month for this team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's partly because some of those opponents are playing better. I mean, A&M's playing really well, ASU's playing really well, and you know, Alabama, they've had some issues, but they've got Colin Sexton back, and you know, they should be, you know, competitive, although it'll be at McHale. But yeah, it does look a little bit different, but that's a good thing. It should be more fun, you know. That way, it'd be boring if they just coasted through the non-conference with no trouble. And I don't think for them, I don't think that would be as good a thing, because then they might get in the Pac-12 and have some trouble. But this way, they're going to be tested again and have some time to fix some things against some teams where, you know, might not be quite as costly, as long as they don't lose their confidence and lose that whole, you know, that's probably the biggest danger, is that if, you know, things keep going south or sideways a little bit, then guys start snipping at each other, confidence goes down, and you don't know if they can recover. But, you know, this coaching staff's been pretty good at that, although this year is different in a number of ways behind the scenes, as we all know.
All right, well, that's Arizona Daily Star's Bruce Pasco. You can follow him on Twitter, at Bruce Pasco, and you can catch him tweeting live in-game updates and providing all the good stuff that you need right now on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. Bruce, are you tempted to buy an orange lawnmower now? A big old bad boy mower.
I don't have a lawn. I'm like a lot of Tucson presidents. I've just got dirt, so it wouldn't do me a whole lot of good.
All right, Bruce, thanks for talking to us.
All right, man.
See you, Bruce. Care,
special thanks to Bruce Pasco for always giving us good takes and good analysis. Because I spit hot fire. All right, so we talked about Arizona basketball being out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since 2012, March 2012. And it got us thinking, what happened the last time Arizona was unranked? What was relevant between March of 2012 and November of 2012 to when they were next ranked? So, Dom and myself, we made up a list. So, Dom, let me get my little sheet of paper here.
Here we go.
LeBron won his first ring with the Miami Heat.
That was Ray Allen 3, right?
In the mm-hmm. corner. 21 Jump Street was released.
Wasn't Dark Knight 2, right?
Dark Knight Rises was released, as well as Hunger Games.
Which one?
First one. Hunger Games 1.
Really?
Yes. 2012. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook were all teammates on Oklahoma City. Dom, you're a Warriors fan, but that's crazy to think that.
That's got
to
be the craziest one for me, because it seems like so long. Like, it's not even real to me that happened. Like, those three players were on the same team. Could you even imagine?
MVP candidates. And if James Harden continues to play the way he's at, he might win MVP this year.
Absolutely.
Crazy to think there's three MVPs on one team. You want to talk about two MVPs on the Warriors, three MVPs on the Thunder.
Yeah.
Young Kyrie Irving won NBA Rookie of the Year.
Kyrie.
Fresh out of Duke, won NBA Rookie of the Year. And my last one, before I switch it over to you, Dom, Kentucky won the national championship behind Anthony Davis. Fear the brow, my guy. Dom, what do you got?
It's been 100 weeks since all that happened, huh? Or no, well, I guess not. What are we talking about? Basketball. Okay.
It's 100 like, basketball weeks.
It's like when you're talking to someone and you say how they ask how long you're going to be, and you say, oh, well, the game's got a minute left. And they're like, oh, well, that means 5 minutes in football time.
Nobody likes those guys.
Yeah.
Just sit down and enjoy the game.
100 college basketball weeks.
Just enjoy the game.
Looking at, I'll start it off on a negative note, I guess. The anti-sports people of 2012. To name a few, Lance Armstrong, Melky Cabrera, who was going through steroid. I actually think he was with the Giants in 2011 when he got caught. Did he get caught again in 2012? Anyways, he's on the list. Penn State, Jerry Sandusky was in the news, and Bounty Gate with the New Orleans Saints. You remember that?
Jonathan Vilma, apparently they were paying off players to hurt people.
Yeah.
On the NFL.
There are a few people concussed that were calling to comment on it. But yeah, Bounty Gate was going on.
You know they did that at the University of Miami too?
Yes. Did they get in trouble for that?
I think they got fined or something like that. All I know is that the one of the members from the Two Live crew, who for those of you who doesn't know what that is, the Two Live crew was the duo that did the song Tootsie Roll.
Oh, Tootsie Roll.
And yeah, apparently they were giving out bounties and paying off
in 2012
versus Miami players. Not in 2012, but it happened. Anyways, go ahead.
Going on to kind of the stars of 2012, as Justin already said, LeBron got his first ring. Michael Phelps became the most decorated Olympian of all time in the London 2012 Olympics. And there was Miguel Cabrera was the first Triple Crown winner for the Detroit Tigers, first in the MLB in 45 years at the time. Let's see, what else can we find in here?
Man, there's just so much. I mean, and if you want to talk about Arizona basketball's case, Arizona basketball at that time had Sean Miller's best recruiting class, Mikhail Tarzewski, Grant Jarrett, Brandon Ashley, Gabe York, and Matt Korchek.
Where's Grant Jarrett now? He was drafted by the Blazers. I think he ended up on the Thunder. Yes. I think he was traded to the Thunder. No idea where he is now. G League somewhere?
Somewhere. The G League.
We'll get on that. And two more movies came out that year, Argo and one of my personal favorites, Django Unchained.
Django, I love Django. 2012,
yeah. So Apple dominates. God, what even was that? I think I saw that on your list. The iPhone 4S was that?
Yes, iPhone 4S was a thing. God,
what is even out now?
So, you know what's crazy to think is we sit here and talk about iPhone 4S. The chargers on the iPhones were still like the big wide ones.
Yeah.
The little tiny ones.
On the 4S, they were the big ones?
Yes, they were really? Some of the big ones. They didn't start doing the little tiny ones until iPhone 5.
The 5.
So 4S, people were still using
What did the 4 look like? Because wasn't 5 the first cube? Like the first square one? Or was that the 4?
Something like that. I had the 5.
About it. Yeah.
But it was thinner.
Right.
And
it wasn't the same round concept.
And it looked more square. So right. Yeah, right. I think you're right. So yeah, that's where Apple was at that time, the last time Arizona basketball was unranked. And I'm going to give you a little shout out to your Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green was drafted number 35 overall.
Out of Michigan State?
Defensive player of the year.
That first year?
Yeah, yeah. That was his first year. That was when he was drafted. And let's see. We got so many of them. Call Me Maybe was a good song. Mike Trout was a rookie.
The only thing I remember about Call Me Maybe is, like, I don't – was that the only part of the chorus? Is that the part everyone's saying was Call Me Maybe?
Yeah.
I guess that's the only part I remember. I can't even remember how it went. I mean, Call Me Maybe, obviously, but like I barely even remember like the melody of it.
Hey, I just met you.
Oh,
and
God.
This is crazy. So here's my number.
So call me maybe. Okay, there we go. You never thought you'd hear us sing Call Me Maybe.
And this gem was released the last time Arizona basketball.
We give you 100 college basketball weeks if this doesn't seem like a long time for you.
This was the spring of my junior year of high school.
2012, huh?
And if you don't know this beat by now... Open
Gangnam Style! Yeah! Let
him tell you. See, you get it? Yes. This is what I'm talking about. Oh, and DeAndre Ayton was also 13 years old.
13 years old. Now on the first Wildcats team not to be ranked since... Good old Gangnam Style.
Just good old Gangnam Style. All right, guys. Well, that is, I guess that's a pretty good stopping point to end on. Thank you, Bruce Pasco, for talking to us about his trip to the Bahamas. Dominic, I appreciate you always for providing the good takes and spitting hot fire.
Absolutely, always. Glad I can join. Let's keep doing this. Maybe, I don't know what song we'll have for you guys next week. It won't be Gangnam Style. It's a one-time thing.
All right, well, the Arizona Wildcats, they will return to action at McHale Center on Wednesday. They will take on Long Beach State. That game will be at 6 o'clock, and that game will be on Pac-12 Networks. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.